This weekend is Easter weekend. If you celebrate, I hope you're having a great weekend. I have a lot to tell you about when I get back. I have headed to my mother's 80th birthday family reunion, where 20 people in my family are going in Scottsdale, Arizona. I set up the house. It's like a compound where everybody can stay. Because of my relationship with my family, my husband and I, Dan, are actually staying in a different hotel, and we're flying there to drop off my daughter. I am pretty much estranged from my mother, so it makes for a very interesting Easter weekend where I'm trying to, do the right thing and be there for my mother. Anyway, so for today's episode, I am putting out an interview with Justin Schubel. His Instagram is DC Food Porn, and he's known as Justin M. Schubel on Instagram. He puts together easy, healthy recipes that are unbelievable. So if you go to his Instagram, he has almost 700,000 followers, and on a consistent basis, he's putting out the most gorgeous, beautiful, colorful food recipes and walking you through how to do them. I sat down with him and he talked about what it was like to start this account, the fact that he was a content creator first and then became a chef as he went through this process. And now you too can be a chef by following his instructions. Please enjoy my conversation with him. I think he's pretty amazing. And I think you'll be heading to the grocery store soon to pick out some ingredients and make, you know, a DC porn gourmet meal. Justin, thank you so much for being here today on Misunderstood.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So I find you fascinating. I found your page because I cannot cook. I don't know the first thing about making a meal. And I found it fascinating to sit there and watch food content and kind of get drawn into it. That's not like a thing that I normally would do.
Well,
right?
You've come to the perfect place.
Obviously.
And if it makes you feel better, 5 years ago, I didn't know how to cook either. So it's very much like I'm on this journey with everybody else.
I love that. That's so fascinating. So I heard a story that you started doing this to get out of class at Georgetown. Is that true?
I mean, interesting way of wording it, but yeah, I started this in 2014. Mm. I was at Georgetown. I was eager to get off campus, and I was very much in like the restaurant space. Doing it for fun, and it just kind of blew up very quickly, became the biggest food influencer in the city, and it was just like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And the shift into cooking and like recipes is kind of in the last 5-6 years since COVID. So I've definitely had a big rebrand.
But yeah, for sure. So wait, so going back before it, did you grow up wanting to be a cook, a content creator?
I grew up around food. I've always loved food. Mm-hmm. My family, we didn't cook a lot. We went out to eat all the time. My grandfather cooked, so I was kind of around both sides of it. And food was very much like what brought people together for me.
Right.
So creating a community around that was really exciting.
Okay.
But I would not say I was like cooking from an early age. So that definitely came later.
And you were studying marketing in school?
I was in the business school doing finance and marketing.
Oh, nice.
Thought I was going to either go into marketing or real estate. Did not expect. Social media was so new. I mean, this was like early days of Instagram,
right.
Facebook. So being an influencer was not like a career path that I foresaw being a thing I could do.
Yeah.
So it just kind of happened organically, and it's been 11 years now.
So what made you decide to do post about food or restaurants instead of posting about like yourself or,
yeah.
You know, people were like doing dances or whatever?
Yeah, well, funny enough, I wasn't doing it for content. I was posting on my personal page. I was posting pictures of me, friends, and then in between it was like food pictures.
Okay.
I realized pretty quickly that the food content was doing very well and it was reaching people that I wouldn't normally reach. And so
right.
I was like, all right, let me make a new account. It'll just be food. No one's going to follow it, but like I'll do it for fun.
And food like in restaurants that you like.
Yeah.
Meals.
So it was called DC Food Porn. It was very much like the most over the top food I could find in DC. It was donuts and ice cream and dripping and like very gooey over the top.
So the look of it was
yeah,
what made it
which
cool.
If you've seen my page today is the complete opposite of what I'm doing now. It's very like health focused.
But it's still beautiful and colors.
Yes. For me, I've always been a creative and an artist. And so like that aspect of it has been as exciting to me as the food itself.
Yeah.
So like keeping it very visually entertaining is important.
If this didn't happen in your life, like what would you be doing?
That's a good question. I think I come from a real estate family. So I think I would be doing real estate or like the marketing side of real estate. Definitely something a little more business oriented.
Right. Okay. So what was your first post that kind of blew up that you were like, ooh, this is interesting?
Good question. My very first post, funny enough, was just like a sweet green salad.
Oh.
I went to Georgetown and sweet green like started there. So yeah. It was the very first sweet green before it was like all over the country. And people were like just very excited to see that. So that was my first post. And then I wouldn't say it went viral. Probably got 20 likes at the time.
Mm-hmm.
First thing that went viral.
Was it just a salad that you made? That
yeah,
you
it was just like
pretty?
A salad. There was not, if I'm not even sure I kept it. I probably deleted it. It was so bad. But at the time it was like, there wasn't a lot of food content. So any yeah. sort of food people were excited to see. And Sweetgreen was such a new concept. So people outside of the city thought it was cool. And
mm-hmm.
Definitely not a great post looking back, but it worked. And then I think in terms of virality, it was as over the top as I could go, the better. So like I would stack 10 donuts on top of each other. Or I would like, there was this one ice cream shop called Ice Cream Jubilee in DC. And the owner, she knew what I did. And she would make the craziest like 20 scoops of ice cream and all this stuff going on just really just for the photo. And it
right.
was completely outrageous and a waste of food. And looking back, I'm like, it's not what I do today. I cook myself lunch, I eat it, and that's my content.
Right.
But
that's
you had to grab attention.
Yeah, but that's interesting because yeah. then did restaurants say, oh, that's that food guy. I want to work with 100%. Him and do something.
So I was like the food guy in DC for many years and I would go from restaurant to restaurant while I was in college. So I was jumping from class to restaurant to event.
And were people paying you or were they giving you free meals at this point?
At first, I was not getting paid. It was, in the very beginning, I was paying for all the food. And I was like, I feel like I'm offering something. Like, let me see if they'll give sure. me food in exchange for what I'm doing. That was great. And then when I went to try to get paid, it was a harder ask. I think restaurants don't have that kind of marketing budget. Mm-hmm. Maybe now, but back then there was no like influencer marketing budget.
Yeah.
So I realized that I had to get paid by brands and do like sponsored posts in between my restaurant content.
Got it.
And that's how I was making money. But restaurants really were not paying.
Got it. And then there was a shift and that was yes. during the pandemic, right?
The shift was during the pandemic. I obviously am in Florida now. Mm-hmm. So I moved here in 2021 and DC food porn obviously was very DC focused. And so I kind of had to make a shift. TikTok had just started. So I started posting on there. I ended up surpassing my followers from Instagram that I built over 5 years within like 6 months.
Oh, wow. With the same kind of content?
Same kind of content. I think TikTok really just like was pushing out food content pretty like big back then.
And I'm sorry, I'm so curious about this. Like, yeah. would you post the same post on Instagram that you would post on TikTok?
Yes. Yeah,
or so, would you shorten it?
So a lot of people did not do that. And I was like, let me make my life easy. The only way I'm going to post on both every day is if I'm posting the same content. If I have right. to like figure out how to do separate content, it's going to be too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And all my content's 15 to 45 seconds. So it kind of works on both platforms.
Yeah.
It's kind of the reason I never got onto like YouTube because I didn't have that long form content got figured it. Out. But like in terms of short form, TikTok, Instagram, I posted pretty much the same. I would tweak the caption or the music or things like that. But yeah, okay. same content.
And TikTok just happened to do better.
It was interesting. I mean, back then, yes. Now I would say Instagram does better. It keeps flip-flopping. The algorithm yeah. just kind of changes and, you know.
Yeah. So it's funny because to me, I look at your stuff now and I don't know, is he a chef? Is he a content creator? Is he like a photographer or an artist? Because of how, you know, you can see something yeah. with a specific eye. What would you consider
well, I'm glad
consider
you say
you
that. I think because my goal really is to brand myself and like, I mean, 5, 10, 20 years from now, I don't know if I'll be cooking protein bowls in my kitchen, but I still want people to kind of be excited to follow along.
Yeah.
So kind of always playing with like what I consider myself. I'm definitely a content creator in the food space, but I do love interior design. I love real estate. I love fashion. Like I like to sprinkle in little bits of everything.
Right. And that's fascinating because I think if somebody saw your page, they would think you're a chef.
Yes.
And I, in looking at it, before I even started talking with you on DMs or whatever, I was like, oh, I should hire this guy to like make me lunch right. every day. Or like, I wonder if he has a home food plan that he does, you well, know?
And actually I've considered that. I think for me, I don't know if it's an insecurity, but like I'm still new to cooking.
Yeah.
New. I mean, it's been probably 6 years where I really like doing it almost every day.
Yeah.
But I would never like consider myself a chef. I have no like training, no professional background. Just kind of like, how can I've been around food my whole life. I've
yeah.
been into restaurants. I've been at other people's houses who are cooking. Like, how can I pull all that and make things easy and break it down for people? So like people like you that don't cook can figure it out. 5
right.
ingredients, 10 ingredients. Like,
and that's got to be different though than cooking for a group of people.
Yeah. And I do it. Like if my family has 10, 15 people coming over, I'm the one that's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not what I love to do.
Right.
It stresses me out. It's fun, but it's also like doing that for one person versus 15 is very different.
Does it taste as good as it looks?
I would like to think so. I think some recipes are better than others, but overall, yeah, I would say the food is good.
Okay, so let's go back to when the pandemic started, and then you started getting into making the food as opposed to, doing content of restaurants. So how did you decide what food you wanted to make?
So back then I was very inexperienced in the kitchen, so I kept it really simple, and I was also very trend-driven. So like, if, I don't know if you remember the pancake cereal, where like people were making the mini pancakes into like cereal, things like that. I was very much doing like the trends, or like taking a trend and trying to like do something different with it. Like I did, like, instead of pancake cereal, I made like little cookies, like cookie cereal, like ways to like push the trends, but still do what people were already doing. And it's very much not what I do anymore. Now I'm like, I wake up, I'm like, what do I want to eat today? I cook it and I hope that that's what everybody else is craving as well. And that seems to be working. So,
yeah. Do you follow the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again trends? Do you pay attention?
I do pay attention. Yeah.
Okay.
I
think what are your thoughts on that?
I like that health and wellness are becoming a focus. I think I've been on that trend for longer than like everybody has. So I think it's nice to see that that's become like a big priority. The seed oils, the protein over carbs, all that stuff. Like, I'm into it.
You are. Okay. Yeah. And so it's interesting because I think a lot of people don't realize sometimes you don't eat a lot of the food that you at least used to post, right?
And that's changed a lot. I think back in the day, there was plenty of food that I was not eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try not to waste it. So if I was in a restaurant, I would give it to the staff, or I'd give it to a homeless person or bring it home for family.
Yeah.
But it was just too much food. Like, there's no way one person. And then every comment was like, how are you so skinny?
Right, right.
I'm like, you can't expect that I'm really
eating. But at the time, that was as a content creator, right? It was for the likes.
Content, exactly.
And now I feel like you obviously do it for the likes, but at the same time, these are things you're really eating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think back then, the big way to go viral, because the algorithm was different. You didn't have like the For You page or things like that. The way to go viral was to have all these big accounts repost your content.
Right.
So the more outrageous you could do, the Food Network would pick it up. People would pick it up. Like, if you could do something crazy and have a beautiful photo, like, that was the way to go viral.
Yeah.
Now it's all about just getting eyeballs. And there's so many more ways to do that. And I think relatability and just like something that looks like you could make it at home is what people want to see.
Is there a style or recipe that you get most excited about? Meaning a group, like, do you love salads, beefs?
I love a protein bowl. So like, I'm very much like, I want a well-balanced meal. So I want a veggie, I want a protein, I want a carb, but like a healthy carb, like brown rice, sweet potato, something. And just like a complete meal in a bowl, easy to eat, easy to clean up is kind of my go-to.
Have you ever done those food services that, you know, like Factor? That come to your door and it's like supposed to be 30 minutes and
I love the concept. For me, I've never done it because unless it's like a partnership that I'm doing with them, like I'm not going to post that kind of content.
Right. But so I think
for other people, I love the concept of like an easy, quick meal.
I feel like that's a really good thing for you. Do you know what I mean? For you to do. However, the problem is you're not getting the healthy ingredients. So maybe for you, it's like you can post the content of how to do it once the people buy the ingredients or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I would do that.
100%.
I think a lot of people would because it's the enjoyment of making it, which is what does well in those boxes. But the stuff that comes in the boxes is all processed.
Right.
So it wouldn't work for people that are trying to be healthy or weight conscious or whatever. Is there something that you've made, like you're looking at recipes or whatever, that it was like a religious experience on the first bite that you were like, holy shit, this is amazing?
That's a good question. Trying to think like what I've made and then it's become part of my rotation. I definitely have a couple things.
Like if you were on a deserted island and you could bring one meal, you know, like.
Weirdly enough, my boyfriend and I are like obsession lately. It's so simple and it sounds weird, but we do these like sweet potatoes with cinnamon, ground beef with taco seasoning, and then like avocado on top. And it sounds like an odd combination, but we whip it up in like 20 minutes, like on a Tuesday night after the gym. It's easy protein. It's delicious. And it's been like a once a week thing for us. So
how do you even come up with that stuff?
It's a good question.
Like, that's like a random.
Yeah. Playing around with like flavor. I love to like push the boundaries a little, but also make sure like you want to be able to take a bite of everything on a plate and it makes sense together.
Totally.
So keeping the flavors cohesive, but also like weirdly, like the cinnamon pulls out interesting flavors in the taco meat and this and that.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, Never thought of that. So it's funny. Growing up, my mother didn't cook. Going to my grandmother's, so I lived in New York City. You always order or go out, right? It's like Chinese food is what you grow up on as a kid. Coming down to Palm Beach and visiting my grandmother, she only cooked easy meals. So it was like rotisserie chicken, steamed broccoli, like, you know, she would put like a sweet potato in the microwave and then salad. You know, that was kind of like the thing.
The classic, yeah.
So I want to get into things that people that are listening can like pull out of their pantry and like work on and make that are easy under 30-minute recipes. So let's start with a pantry concept. Like if you were given like a game show and you had to say like, okay, people have to look in their pantry right now. What do they have and what can we make out of something?
Yep.
First of all, what would you say is in most people's pantries that is usable? Because I feel like that shit sits in there and no one uses it.
I always have rice in the pantry.
Okay.
I think you can like create an easy meal out of that. Obviously having the right spices and like even having like a good, like I said, the taco seasoning or like pre-prepared seasonings that are like, you're not mixing 10 things together. You're
just
pouring a packet, putting it on your protein, throwing it in the oven, making some rice.
Yep.
Maybe I'm a big like healthy fat guy, so like avocado is a good addition. I don't love packaged foods. So like things that are sitting in the pantry, I'm not big on that unless it's like chickpeas in a can or beans in a can. Like those are great protein sources.
Okay.
But I'm very big on like going to the store like that day and buying what I want, but like a few things, nothing crazy. Like you don't need to do a whole grocery.
So I love that. That's actually an important piece of advice. So people can have things in the pantry, but that doesn't mean they actually have anything in their house. So it is important to shop.
Yeah. You got to keep the staples. So anything that can sit on a shelf, have those ready. So you don't have to do those every time you're shopping.
Okay.
And then I'll usually go in, I'll buy a protein and a veggie and you can make a dinner.
Okay. Are there basics that we should keep though in the freezer, in the refrigerator and in the pantry just to have? Like, what would those basics be to you?
Okay. I would say definitely some good oils. So like,
okay, tell me oil because I never know which olive oil or oils to
you
have.
Want it to be extra virgin olive oil.
Okay.
Ideally from one place. So like,
does it have to be from Italy? Like what?
It doesn't have to be. It can be like 100% Italian, 100% from Spain, wherever it is. You don't want a blend of like different countries because they sneak weird stuff in there.
Okay. Do you have a favorite?
Lately I've been loving Graza just for the convenience of the squeeze bottle is fun to use.
Okay.
But, there's a ton. Even the Costco has great extra virgin olive oil.
Okay.
I would always keep like a coconut oil. Again, that's great for baking.
Okay.
Obviously rice, brown rice, white rice. Trying to think what
do you have like, do you always have like teriyaki sauce and
stuff? Yeah,
sauce?
I guess I take for granted. I have a very full pantry of stuff. I have teriyaki, I have gluten-free soy, regular soy. I have probably 30 spices. I love having like curry on hand is like an easy spice you can throw on something. It gives it a ton of flavor, but it's one spice.
Okay.
Obviously lots of good sea salt. What else?
You always have lemons. Do you always have cucumber, tomato? Like what would five ingredients that you always have
in my
to have
like it? Weekly shop?
Yeah.
Big on, yeah, I love lemon. Mm-hmm. I think that acid adds like a real punch, even to like, if you like roast broccoli, like hit it with a little lemon, makes it so much better. So I would say lemon's a good one. Avocado, olive oil is great. Sweet potato, I think, is a great carb. If you like don't want rice or pasta, I think sweet potato is a good, like super filling, really good for you, tons of nutrients. So that's a great one as well. And then in the fridge, I would say obviously like milk is a staple.
Do you use regular milk, almond milk?
It depends
milk?
On what I'm making. I don't cook with a lot of milk. I try to keep my recipes like allergy friendly. It's like as dairy free, gluten free, like whatever I can do, the better.
Do you believe in the gluten free thing? Like sometimes I feel like it's worse.
It depends. I think if you.
Worse in terms of taste. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean,
think gluten free is great if you have a reason to be gluten free. If it's an intolerance, celiac, whatever it is. I don't think it's always healthier or better if you can tolerate it.
Right. Like, do you eat pasta?
I do sometimes, but I do a lot of gluten-free. My brother's celiac was a lot of gluten-free in the family, so it's easy to, like, just cook gluten-free.
Got it.
Makes it easier for everybody. And same with, like, I don't do a lot of dairy in the family. We have a lot of lactose intolerance, so a lot of allergy-friendly. There's, like, nuts and stuff.
Yeah. What about, well, let's talk about pasta for a second. If you're going to do pasta, would you do, like, a zucchini pasta?
I'm a big fan of Jovial. It's 100% brown rice. Okay. Tastes pretty close to the real thing. Texture's great. Zucchini pasta is great, but it doesn't taste like pasta. It tastes like you're eating vegetables with sauce on it, which is great, but it's different.
Kind of.
Or even like I'll roast like a big spaghetti squash and use that and make like a bolognese and stuff. So there are ways around it, but yeah, it's different.
Okay. Talk about salts too. Because when you look at the counter, a lot of people have all these different kinds of salts, and then you hear to put salt in your water now. Yeah. Like, talk about
the electrolytes. Yeah. I'm a big fan of salt. I think people are scared of sodium. I don't think it's always a bad thing. Like you said, putting it in water, like if you're dehydrated, if I'm hungover, a little bit of salt on the tongue, I chug a glass of water and I feel better in 20 minutes.
Really?
Or I'll
they
even
say
do
it's
it.
Great for you.
Yeah.
I've never
I mean, that. Obviously not in huge doses, obviously. But like a heavy pinch on the tongue and a glass of water is very good for hydration. I like the flaky sea salt, the Maldon salt.
But is there a real difference between like Himalayan pink salt and sea salt? And
you hear so many conflicting things. I mean, there are a lot more nutrients in like the sea salts and the Himalayan salt than like table salt.
Okay.
But some pink salts can have lead in them and this and that. So,
right.
You know, you can't, I feel like they're always out to get us.
What do
you
use?
Try to be healthy. And then I have some pink Himalayan sea salt, but lately I've just been using the, you know, like the big flaky sea salt. Use that on mostly everything.
You do.
Or like the grinder.
Got it. Okay. So if people are listening and they're like, all right, what is one thing that could be a go-to that I can make 2 to 3 times a week, whether it's a salad, chicken salad, you make your salads look amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, they're
I love a good salad.
Unbelievable. I haven't tried to make anything yet, but I will tell you my New Year's resolution. I got married on New Year's Eve.
Congrats.
So thank you. So my New Year's resolution was that every Wednesday night we were going to have family dinner. Yeah. My husband cooks every night. So I was going to cook every Wednesday, and it's my daughter. She's 13. And then he has two kids like in their 20s.
Okay.
Everyone was forced to come to dinner on Wednesday nights and I was making it. Now here we are two months after this thing that I say I'm going to do.
Yet?
Never happened.
Okay.
Not once has it happened.
It's intimidating.
It is intimidating. I don't know what to buy. I don't know how to do it. Yeah. And so I'm just like, forget it, you know. But I'm going to make a pact. I'm going to find a recipe on your site.
Okay. And I'll lead you in the right direction.
Yeah. And I want to do it. But for people that are listening and they're like, that's fun. Tonight, let me go to the supermarket and let me make a quick meal that kids will like, husband will like, but it will feel hearty and it will feel like rich and like you spent some time.
Yeah.
Give us a go-to on how to do it.
If you want to watch the rest of this episode, please head over to the Palm Beach Life Patreon. The link is down below in our description. If you would rather just listen to the full-length interview, head over to our Apple Podcast page and become a member today. Thank you.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.